Okay, great. Thank you. Most of the introductions have already been made in the last presentation. I'm going to talk about the evaluation. What do we find? What effects do we have as a result of this intensive campaign to delay the initiation of sexual activity? Again, the design, where we have 9 months of data collection in both cities before the first campaign, the three-month intensive campaign, 3 months between the two campaigns, another three-month campaign, and an additional 3 months of data collected later. I must say, this was a bit shorter than we normally do these time series. The two campaigns were a little bit closer than we normally do. You'd like to leave a little bit more time in between, but the numbers of folks in the school systems that we thought were there turned out not exactly to be there, and not with phone numbers that we could be in touch with. So we only wound up with about 65 to 70% of the sample size that we had hoped for. So we had to make some changes. It wasn't the ideal design, but similar to what we've done before. This again is the airing plan that Dr. Noor mentioned. Negative consequences, positive alternatives, and situations and skills. You saw a little bit heavy on the negative consequences. There were some other components of the campaign. You just didn't see all of those PSAs. And as we and our colleagues have always done, the ads were placed in programs that, based on our data collection in the previous 9 months, we knew that the high sensation seekers in the sample were likely to be watching. Plus the ratings data that our media buyer had been following up over that time. Okay, so what kind of exposure did we get to the campaign based on our data that we collected over the course of the study? Beginning with the first month of the Charleston campaign through the end of the data collection, which is the 3 months of the campaign was October, November, December, of 07, then there were 9 more months of data collection in Charleston after the campaign. Essentially, what you see here, the pink are the low sensation seekers, the purple or blue are the high sensation seekers. The graphs are fairly similar in this particular case, and approximately in the vicinity of 80 to 90% had seen at least one of our PSAs, and that lasted through 9 months after the campaign. And right at the very beginning, high sensation seekers were a little bit slower getting started, but we're looking at about 50 to 60% had seen three or more different PSAs at least once. And that also maintained through 9 months after the campaign. A reasonable saturation level compared to other campaigns that folks have done and that have been successful, including some of the ones we've done. Augusta, that campaign began in March. We were actually having to work on our dates. I think we're about half a month off here. We only have about half the numbers for the month of March. But from April until the end of data collection, the campaign was March, April, May. 80 to 90% saw at least one PSA, and in the vicinity of 70% saw three or more. The numbers are a bit higher for Augusta than they were for Charleston. Okay. So exposure was comparable, quite high, to other campaigns we and others have run that have been successful in the past. So folks saw the campaign. How did we do analyses to assess the impact of the campaign? There are a number of different analyses that we did. First, the kind of analysis that we have consistently done and my colleagues have done in analyzing these kinds of campaigns, time series regression that Lewis Beck has pioneered, and he's worked with my colleagues in developing our methodology. 21 data points are not enough data points to do a full-fledged time series analysis. Folks usually like to see at least in the mid-40s or 50 or higher data points to do a true time series analysis. So it's a time series-like kind of analysis based on linear regression that looks for changes in slope. Essentially, it looks for changes in slope over time. I want to show a few graphs quickly of some of our previous campaigns to see where you can see those changes quite clearly. Whoops. I guess I do want to go back here. Okay, sorry. I'll just mention the other kinds. Dan Romer and Sharon Snitzman from University of Pennsylvania did assist us with a true time series design as well for additional analysis. We did ANCOVA logistic regression to look at time by city analyses. We did longitudinal analysis. Most of the folks in our sample were actually interviewed twice at different points of the data collection. That's fairly frequent in these kinds of data analysis procedures where random samples are chosen monthly over 2 years or so. So we created a longitudinal data set to see whether exposure to the campaign between the first interview and the second interview, controlling for other factors, predicted change from time one to time two. Finally, we did the weakest kind of analysis that folks with much weaker data than this do, which is post-only dose response. Okay. So the time series regression. These are effects of two campaigns. Marijuana use was going up. The campaign showed up. Marijuana use went down. Up till about 5 months later, started going up again. Another campaign went down again. Really very clear kinds of effects. Similar in the other community in this study, it was only one campaign, same effect. In our Safer Sex study, if you see the yellow line, there's lots of other stuff here, but 30-day unprotected sex was going up. We had our three-month campaign, unprotected sex went down. And then began to go up again. So that's what our graphs have looked like in previous studies. Here's what the graph for ever having sex looked like in this study. These are three-month periods. The fourth one represents the time that the Charleston campaign happened, September to November of 07. So the fourth purple and pink marks are the campaign. What you actually see here is that the other cities' percentage of ever having sex increased in the 3 months before that fourth point. Augusta is the blue line. Charleston stayed the same before the campaign. So in fact, the other city was going up faster before the campaign happened. The slopes are about the same in the 3 months after the campaign between the two cities, not the kinds of effects we've seen before. Similarly, the Augusta campaign happened March to May, the second to last data point, it actually looks like in this slide that, in fact, ever having sex may have gone up after that campaign for the blue line as compared to the pink. Okay. Oh, boy, time does really fly when you start talking about stuff, doesn't it? Intentions, results look fairly similar. Not particularly, we're hoping it looks like an interrupted time series, but there don't seem to be any meaningful interruptions related to the campaigns. Indeed, there were no differences and changes in slope the way we had seen in previous campaigns or had hoped to see in this study based on the campaign. I'm going to do this one real fast. And just say this is the only analysis. I hate to give the punchline now, but this is the only analysis that showed some potentially promising results. Fitting a line to a time series, pulling out autocorrelations, comparing a linear trend for the entire 21 months in Charleston for white adolescents, One does a little better if one flattens the curve for the 6 months of the campaign and the 3 months after, suggesting that the Charleston campaign may have had an effect on a small number of variables for Caucasians only in that campaign. This is the only analysis that shows that effect. ANOVA and logistic regression, we looked at 6 months before the campaign plus 3 months, comparing the campaign and the control city. We did not see smaller rates of increase in the campaign city compared to the non-campaign city in either city. In the longitudinal analysis, we did not see the effects of having been exposed to the campaign between interviews versus not being exposed to the campaign between interviews. That was not a significant predictor of time to intentions, ever having sex, or any of the mediating variables. Even the post-only dose response analysis, which we speak about as being so weak that I would really hate to claim anything depending upon those results. Even for those analyses, and all of these we've controlled for age, gender, race, and socioeconomic status with school lunch. That's controlled for in every analysis here. No relationship between the number of PSAs they saw and the outcome variables either. So essentially across a lot of analyses, there's one that suggests the Charleston campaign may have slowed down the trajectory for risky outcomes slightly for whites. But all these other analyses suggest no significant effects. Obviously, a very disappointing outcome for us. Why did we not find effects? Well, there are 100 possibilities. Let me just outline a few. The first one that particularly since we didn't find relationship between the exposure and the outcome variables, which one tends to find even for selection reasons, even when the campaign hasn't had effect, that folks who are safer tend to remember the ads better than folks who are not, suggests that there are almost certainly some kinds of problems with the sampling. The refusal rate was relatively high, about 50% on the phone, and the numbers were just too small. It was too hard to get folks. The samples were not consistently similar across the period of the study. The numbers turned out to be too small. That's probably the biggest reason that made it difficult to really even determine the impact of the campaign. There was too much sampling noise. The bottom one, I think, is a biggie. Compared to the other campaigns we've done on marijuana or condom use, there are not a lot of messages out there saying condoms are bad. There's not a lot of messages out there saying marijuana is terrific, because they don't allow them to be on TV. On the other hand, there are huge volumes of suggestions every day in these young people's lives that the earliest possible moment they have sex would be the right time to have sex. And so this is a different kind of behavior with lots of other counter information. And it's possible the campaigns were not effective because of some other problems, perhaps the PSAs. We may have been trying to do too much and reach females and males and African Americans and Caucasians in these communities. Thank you. My time is up.